Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all phone guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. All right. Giants and Bucks square off tonight on Monday Night Football, 8:15 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Jay, we are the resident Giant fans on this show. Keyshawn, obviously, the football expert. But let me tell you something.
I'm a music expert, too.
You're a music expert? What do you... You should sign him up. You hear that, Jay?
That's what they were saying.
That's it. Sign him up. So, Key, we were just talking about it with DiPietro and Rothenberg in New York. I know the way to beat Brady is to get pressure on him. You know, control the clock, get pressure on him. That's also been the Giants' way. But this is not a get pressure on the other team type of defense for the Giants. And you know, and Saquon Barkley's not a control the clock kind of back for that matter, right? He's a take it to the house, can score from anywhere on the field type of dynamic back. To me, the Giants maybe best win a shootout, right? Like maybe they, Daniel Jones has a great game and Saquon's back and if the defense can come away with a couple of takeaways in a higher scoring game than we're used to seeing the Giants in, maybe that's the best plan for them given the facts of where the team is right now.
Yeah, it certainly seems like that they have a pretty good offense of, you know, weapons that he could have at his disposal. But I don't know that the Giants are going to be able to get into a shootout with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. I don't know that the Giants' offense is high octane like that, yeah. And I haven't seen it high octane like that. The most they've scored this year in the low 30s.
Yeah.
So if I'm them, I just pray.
Yeah, pray. That's a good. What do you think about the pray strategy tonight, Jay?
Well, we've been praying, Max, the whole damn year. Look, that, like I said before, the Bucs' run defense is pretty stout, right? So Saquon doesn't really attack up the gap as much. He kind of bounces to the outside as much. We talk about this, him getting those big plays every once in a while. I think it's going to be a big opportunity for Daniel Jones. Like, you have to cover up the secondary. And I think the quick game, I think quick slants, I think things of that sort are what they have to do in order to stay in this game. And the defense has to be solid. You can't have those mental miscues like they've had throughout the course of the season.
No Blake all year, basically. Or, you know, it's going to be tough with the tight ends. But I want to get back to this pray idea, okay? Now, in my experience, Key, Jay, the sports gods demand sacrifice. So, if you are praying, they want to know, what are you willing to give up? Like, are you willing to give up, how many Knicks or Nets wins are you willing to give up for this win? See what I mean? How many, what are you willing to give up from the Yankees or Mets? You got to be willing to give up something, Jay. You can't just pray to the sports gods. That's empty. They want to know, what are you willing to sacrifice to them?
I mean, well, the Knicks lost last night. Is that like a sacrifice?
No, it already happened. It's got to be going forward. What are you willing to sacrifice?
I mean, look, a game like this, God, what am I willing to sacrifice? It's a bad question. I don't like being put in this situation.
Well,
I don't want to sacrifice
anything. Then don't
tell
anything. Me pray. Then so don't tell me
I didn't
pray.
Say pray. Answer That's the Key question. Saying pray. You said pray, Key. I didn't say it. I don't want to give up anything.
I don't care if the Giants win or lose. I'm going to the Super Bowl regardless.
I'll give up the rest of the Jets season. See, that doesn't count because I'm not a Jets fan. It doesn't mean anything. I'd like that, as a matter of fact. Right. You know, like, what are you willing to give up, man? So it's an 11.5 point spread, Key? You think that the Bucks cover that?
I think at home against a lesser opponent like the New York Giants, I think that they'll be able to cover that. If they were on the road in New York, you would say, you know. But at home, teams that are less than them in their favor going into Tampa Bay Buccaneer games, they've pretty much dominated them.
Yeah, I just don't see the Bucs losing three games in a row.
Yeah,
I don't.
Me neither.
They may get.
Well, I don't think that. No, I don't think that. I don't think they're gonna lose.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this is one of those games where you catch a team at the wrong time because of the venom that they've had for the past two games. They may get an offensive boost if Gronk comes back tonight. I know that's a game time decision. I think tonight's gonna be a rough
look,
game. For the Giants.
You brought up Daniel Jones before. Daniel Jones to me. Okay, so you can start on an NFL team at quarterback. Can you game manage? He's not a great game manager, actually, so far in his career, but you see he has the potential, maybe he could be. Well, can you do a little extra when the team needs you to? This would be a good night to do it. He looks like he can, but he hasn't often done it. And so at a certain point, I worry about being that 4A-type quarterback like I was mentioning about Sam Bradford. It looks good. You flash in different areas. He hasn't been in a good situation, that's true, but I want to say, let me shift it to Tom Brady and the Bucs for a second. Key, does the NFC still run through Brady and the Bucs?
I mean, until they get eliminated, but I think it's a close, you know. I think the Packers, even though they lost to Minnesota, divisional team, the Rams are still there. They beat the Bucs earlier in the year. The Cowboys, we watched them lose last night without having four or five of their top players at their disposal. And then we got the Arizona Cardinals that continue to keep winning football games. I don't think the Cardinals can beat the Bucs. I don't think so. I know that you guys think it's all, you know, all hunky-dory smiles because they winning games and they're scoring points, but I don't see Arizona as that juggernaut in the NFC like that over the Buccaneers, especially once the Bucs get at full strength on the defensive side of the ball.
But the question is, Key, when will the Bucs be at full strength? Because, you know, a lot of teams are plagued with injuries. Like, when will a team be fully healthy?
Oh, I don't know when everybody's coming back to the party. I just know they are coming back.
That's a good point. Look, if you just looked at pure talent, both sides of the ball, the Bucs may have the most talented roster in the NFL. They also have a great quarterback, obviously. I don't know. The Cardinals, to me, the Arizona could win. I thought before the season started, and I said it, any one of those NFC West teams, I felt like, I think Arizona's fourth out of four, but they could still win the Super Bowl. Like, they're good. Let's see how it pans out. NFC still run through Brady and the Bucs, Jay?
I mean, it's hard for me to go against Green Bay. It really is. I mean, I know their situation happened last year. I know that the Bucs won. I just feel like Green Bay, even though they come off that loss on the road yesterday to the Vikings, man, Aaron Rodgers, turf toe, whatever the hell you want to call it, for how he played yesterday, the upside of how they played, that defense has gotten better. Granted, tough divisional loss on the road, but I'm betting with Aaron Rodgers this year.
Now that's the NFC Championship game last year,
yeah,
those two
good
teams.
That's a good bet, though. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with there's nothing wrong with the Green Bay Packers, right? They lost to Minnesota, divisional opponent of theirs. They kind of knew, you know, kind of have familiarity with him. And going into the game, I said that Kirk Cousins would outplay Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers, you know, would do well, but Kirk Cousins would get the W and he wind up getting it. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys against Kansas City, would having Torrence Smith back and Amari Cooper and a healthy CeeDee Lamb, is that going to make a difference? It probably could have, but we will know because they didn't play in the game. Is the Arizona Cardinals a legit contender in the NFC? Yes, they are. I think they are, but I also think that there's other teams that are better than them. They're winning games, and they deserve to win them, but those teams are better than them.
Meantime, the Jets lost 24-17.
What else is new?
With Joe Flacco yesterday. Is it time to bring Zach Wilson back? Or Key, do you bring him back slowly? Keep moving him along slowly.
I think you bring him back when he's ready to play. If he's healthy and ready to go, you certainly bring him back. Why wouldn't you? That's your number one pick. The reason you drafted him is for him to get the ability to learn how to play the game at the professional level. So 2-3 years from now, you're talking about a lifetime extension because he's your quarterback of the future.
Question, Key. Is all experience good experience? In other words, I hear what you're saying, but one of the reasons I like the way it used to be done, where the quarterback would hold the clipboard for that first year, was because to me, not all experience is good experience. You can have experience that damages a guy, but you're saying that Zach Wilson on this team right now, this coaching staff, the whole thing, weapons available to him, offensive line, that this experience would be good for his development right now?
It was good in the beginning of week one. Why wouldn't it be good now? What changed between week one and
Becton's
now?
Injury.
And I will also say, Key, like I would wait on bringing Zach Wilson back. I would let him,
if he's ready to go.
I hear you, Key. I hear what you're saying.
Meaningful reps.
Hear me out. Joe Flacco didn't look bad yesterday. Joe Flacco is not the answer for the Jets. But there is something to be said about watching a veteran operate, watching him work, learning on the job for a little bit. You can still bring him back. But I'm saying let him ease back into that instead of just throwing him back to the dogs right away so he can gain that experience of watching somebody who is more experienced so he can play off that. Like it's like coming into the league, like having Jason Kidd or Steve Nash around me working out my summer benefited me massively just watching the way they call plays, watching the way they write coaches, watching the way they write schemes. Like it all worked out due to that experience. It helped.
Me too. Me too. When I was in the NBA, Jay, let me tell you. Speaking of the NBA, guys, well, first, let me tell you, listen to the Man in the Arena podcast, 10-part series exploring how sports has an impact on our everyday lives through the lens of Tom Brady's career, brought to you by State Farm and available wherever you get your podcasts.
LeBron, flagrant 2, ejected from the game.
Obviously, there's frustration involved with this Lakers team right now.
Stewart tried to give his to LeBron. I don't know what he was trying to do. I know nobody on our team was having it. You know, we're going to protect our brother. He's uncalled for.
So LeBron James was ejected after what at first looked like an elbow, but upon further review, as Jay Will points out, was actually a fist. He swung his elbow, but then followed through with his fist and hit the Pistons' Isaiah Stewart in the face, in the eye, opened a big gash. So this is in the third quarter, 121-116 win for the Lakers. The hit, the shot that he landed led to a stoppage in the action because of the blood. And meantime, Stewart had to be held back multiple times by Detroit personnel. He tried to get it.
Hold me back!
He tried to get at LeBron. And Stewart, by the way, was also tossed, not just LeBron. LeBron did not talk to reporters after the game. The Lakers play the Knicks on Tuesday. Mm. And the question right now, ladies and gentlemen, should LeBron be suspended?
Oh, God.
For that game? Go ahead, Key. Should he be suspended?
Why should he be suspended? Because he was playing basketball and his intentions was not to hurt somebody and he was being aggressive underneath the hoop and he happened to throw his arm and hit a guy and cut him, so he should be suspended now?
Just because he happens to swing violently
yes,
at a guy.
Yes, because he happened to swing violently with a closed fist.
Oh, God. He didn't punch the dude.
Hey, dude, look, I'm all about the 90s basketball. I'm all about physicality in basketball. Like, I love the fact that the refs have changed, the NBA has changed the rules to stop letting players get away with all these erroneous moves that they do in order to get to the free throw line. But, like, watching that last night, man, as a certified hooper my whole life, LeBron James, he's not a dirty player, but that was a dirty play. Even if it did happen inadvertently. And one of the things that I recognize when stuff happens, Key, if we were boxing out and Max and I were going against each other and I randomly came with my fist across his face, if I really didn't mean it, you know what I'm doing? I'm going over to Max. I'm picking you up. I'm saying, yo, you all right? That's my bad.
With
I'm sorry. My fault,
pouring out of my
I didn't
face,
mean
man.
That. You know, we out here competing. My bad. You good? Like, what? I wouldn't just stand next to you and have my arm out looking at you and, like, looking at you sideways, right? Now, look, it's fine to get lost in being competitive, but the league, there's been precedent for this before. This has happened a couple of times, and the league has typically suspended guys for doing this. 1 to 2 games, not a big thing at all, but I think the league will do this, and I don't think Isaiah Stewart should be suspended. I think that he is a 20-year-old kid that reacted the wrong way, running around the court. Obviously, there may be a small fine with him not leaving the court on the right time, but I don't think Isaiah Stewart should get suspended.
Let me put it this way. And usually, like, the consequences of behavior, whether the behavior is intended or unintended, the consequences, people like, well, just because that happened after the fact, that shouldn't weigh, but it does. So let me ask you something. And by that I mean the fact that he got hit in the face with the fist and his eye was a bloody mess. Key, if you were jostling with someone, right, on the blocks and the free throw goes in, so the it's, you know, like there's no reason, or the shot goes in, there's no reason to be doing that anymore. and you're the guy who you're defending, turns around and hits you in the face just like LeBron, like you are Stewart, and your eye busts open. Where are you on all that now? Where are you toward LeBron?
I'm probably going to whoop his ass.
Well.
But the reason I'm going to whoop his ass is because I probably provoked him in doing that to the point where he was so frustrated that he aggressively wind up going an extra mile by trying to get off of me by with our arms tangled together. So I'm very problematic in certain things. I clearly know exactly what I did to provoke him to become a little more aggressive in that situation. And I'm sure Stewart knew that he was provoking LeBron to a degree to become more aggressive. And I'm sure he knew LeBron didn't try and hit him in the eye.
I don't know what was said. All I know is looking at the actual tape, the ball goes in. LeBron and Isaiah Stewart, DeAndre Jordan, if the ball is missing, by the way, DeAndre Jordan is there for the rebound. They're about two marks out, the first block, then the second tier. They're out in that realm. The ball's in. LeBron's a little bit off balance, which is typical boxing out style, right? You're allowed to have your elbow on somebody's hip or their inner rib cage. It's how everybody boxes out. It's how you are fundamentally taught to box out. LeBron's a little bit off balance, and when I see him being off balance, regardless of whoever said what to what, maybe in a frustration-like manner, he takes his left elbow, which should never be that high.
Whips it around.
In basketball, it should never be that high. When it's that high, instant ejection, technical foul, flagrant two. And rips it down like that with a closed fist, that's a suspension.
You know, it reminds me, a lot of times I'll talk about, hey, what LeBron did in the finals against the Warriors in 16. Sorry, not even in 16, in 15. What he did in the finals without Kyrie or Kevin Love, with Dellavedova as second best player, is amazing. Always Warriors fans will come back at me, like on social media, in the street, wherever. Oh, what about when LeBron came back on the Warriors because Dre wasn't there? But the difference was Dre was playing with a bunch of techs. The next one, and he was going to be suspended a game. LeBron knew that, provoked him intentionally, got Draymond to lose his temper. That's tough on Draymond. He gets tossed, and the Cavs come back on him, right? That's an example of LeBron being
So you're saying LeBron didn't deserve that championship? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, opposite, Key.
No,
opposite. That's what other people are arguing. I'm arguing part of it is psychological games you're playing. Part of it is if you know your opponent has a player like Draymond on it and he's ready to get tossed because of all the techs and you can provoke him, he did it successfully. No. That's part of LeBron's greatness, and that's one of the Achilles' heels on that Golden State team at the time. LeBron exploited it. My point is, LeBron is that aware of stuff? You think he's not aware enough to know what he thinks he can get away with and what he thinks he can't get away with?
So maybe he's not going to get suspended like Jay Williams suggesting he should. Maybe he won't.
Man, that's right. Maybe he might not be.
Because he is LeBron.
You're right. Maybe that comes into his calculation, too. Like, let them try to suspend me, LeBron James, for something that I have plausible deniability on. Like, I wasn't trying to hit him.
Y'all should go to the Knicks Laker game tomorrow, you and Jay.
Why?
Just go. Won't y'all go? Sit courtside. Watch the King James at his best.
Yeah.
I've seen King James win championships.
We can talk about it.
This is not an indictment that King James is a bad person, man. Like, this is not...
Hold on. Time out.
King James is a dirty player that I'm worried about how LeBron James is going to respond to me by saying that he's
suspended.
Is that
what
suspended.
It is? I just got like, that, yeah.
Like, we're all out here as real hoopers, man. You see hoop. Like, stuff happens when you play basketball. Emotions get flared up. I've done some things that I'm not proud of in reaction to the way people have gotten me riled up. But with reactions come repercussions, and this seems like this would be a feasible repercussion
right.
for this reaction.
I see. Key's like, oh, you wouldn't say that if you have LeBron might confront you. Not true, first of all, Key. But secondly, you don't have to be a dirty
bitch. I'm just telling y'all to go watch good basketball, man. Get out of here, man.
See, you know why?
Because
you know who Key is? LeBron. Plausible deniability. Starting mischief. Yeah, I'm just saying, LeBron I don't think is a dirty player. But
no, he's not.
But he's a
second time he's been injected in his career.
Yeah, he's a crafty player. Obviously, he's like a brilliant. He's a genius basketball player, and I'm sure when he gets frustrated, he knows exactly what he can get away with and what he thinks. Well, at least what he thinks he can and what he can't.
He was simply trying to be aggressive when his arms were tangled. And
like a real
by
Laker
being
fan.
Aggressive when his arms were tangled, the young man's head was in the way when LeBron went to
swing. Of his closed fist.
You know, that's true. As a matter of fact.
And when your fist is going to be closed when you're telling somebody to get off of me. Move. Nobody has their hand open, Jay, saying move. Who does that?
No. Key's right. As a matter of fact, Adam, this should be brought to Adam Silver, Jay. Yeah. How dare Stewart put his face in the way of LeBron's fist? I think there should be suspensions, lengthy suspension for Stewart on this. Got right in the way of LeBron's fist. I don't know. Has anyone checked on LeBron's hand, make sure it's okay? I mean, Stewart's face is bleeding, but whatever. Is LeBron's hand okay?
I mean, look, to the Lakers' credit, I give them a lot of respect for bouncing back and winning that game. AD had 30. We talked about him playing extremely well high. But look, this is also a byproduct, though, I feel like, where the Lakers are in the sense of urgency that they feel like they need, right? Obviously, they are frustrated with their style of the play. They were down in this game. I tweeted last night watching the game. I'm like, please, do not lose to the Detroit Pistons. Not right now. Like, this is – the Lakers are a way better team. And sometimes things like this can help teams rally as well. I'm not saying it was done on purpose to help the team rally, but sometimes adversity brings a team together.
Yeah.
Maybe it does.
Not as bad as losing to the Lions, but also not a great idea to lose to the Pistons.
Yes.
Poor Detroit right now.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
That was 850 ESPN 850 WKNR on the call. Keyshawn, J. Willimax on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all phone guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. So the Browns picked up a 13-10 win over the Lions yesterday, which this year I believe is being counted as a loss. Or are they counting that officially as a win? Or if you
so
beat
cold.
The Lions by a field goal, that may be. I may count as a tie, and I got to see. I'll check. Quarterback Baker Mayfield did not attend the press conference after the game. Baker's wife then reposted a picture on Instagram that says, and I quote, "No one better say anything bad about Baker Mayfield after this game. I don't think I've seen toughness like this in a while. Maybe the rest of our team should take a hint and get tougher." What do you make of that, Jay?
I just think the struggles continue to amplify, right? And look, Baker is obviously playing through a ton of injuries. Nobody's questioning that.
He's a tough guy.
He's one of the toughest dudes there is in the NFL. 176 yards yesterday, one touchdown, two interceptions. The game was ugly, but they found a way to win. But see, this is the problem when scenarios like what occurred with OBJ happen, because then the internet and people automatically go to, well, what happens if OBJ didn't play well and just skipped a post-presser? What would the, or if one of his family members reposted something that a teammate said, if it was, you know, his girlfriend that he's having a child with or something like that, right, for OBJ. And I think all these scenarios just continue to play into how challenging it's going to become for Baker, because the next game is against the Ravens. They play the Ravens back-to-back. And it just feels like all the heat, all the tension, hearing fans kind of boo him to a degree. It just feels like this whole energy is flipping against Baker Mayfield in Cleveland.
What about the fact that Baker's wife comes out and talks about how tough he is and tells the team to get tough like him? We had, and you and Jay went into some detail a couple weeks ago about family members when you're at the highest level of your sport, and like, you know, some stuff you just, what can you do? But what's your take on the fact that Baker's wife came out and reposted this?
I'm fine with it. I mean, it's family, man. They gonna take care of you. They gonna say things. They gonna do all sorts of stuff. Whatever, man. That's my wife. Whatever. That's kind of how I look at it, just like I did with OBJ and his dad. That's his dad. What you expect for him to do? Tom Brady and his dad. That's his dad. My mom was the same way. My sisters was the same way. My brother the same way. So I don't really care about it. I'm not a big social media guy, so I don't get all oohed and ahed based on something on social media. A lot of people think that it's big because it's on social media. When it wasn't social media around, people, family members protected them at, you know, best they could, in the tunnel, outside of a stadium, near the buses, in restaurants. So I don't see it as a big deal, to be honest with you, Max. It's just some social media garbage to me. That's the only thing I see.
Well, listen, I partly make a living talking about social media garbage. So
let me try. You look.
No, no.
You feel the way you feel.
Well, I have a legitimate question. I'm joking, but I have a legitimate question, okay? So I get it if it's a mother or a sibling or a father, someone where the relationship's a little different. A spouse, when you're in the house together, someone you're married to, that's not something like you would tell a parent or a sibling, like, "Yo, I really wish you, could you please not do that?" That's someone you might be like, "Yo, what are you doing? You're killing, like, you can't be doing," like, that's different. You speak to each other differently, right? So, because you have to coexist in the same household, not like you once did years ago. You're doing that now. So when someone's spouse does that, it just gives me the feeling that the person maybe signed off on it. You see what I mean?
It's conversations is what it is. It's a conversation that's taking place. Like, you know, Jay is in my house or Max is in my house. I'm sitting there saying, "Man, I'm so sick and tired of these dudes always complaining. I'm out here playing hurt every single day, and they don't know how I feel, and they not even playing at the same level as me." That happened on Sunday at that happened on Tuesday at dinner.
Right. No, okay. That sounds.
And that was
right.
A normal conversation. That wasn't a complaint. It was just a normal. We having a normal conversation, and they now take it to Sunday. That conversation we had on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing where it becomes big news. It's not even like she manufactured the post on her own. She just reposted what somebody else said about Baker.
Right.
And then happened?
That's what happened, Key. Somebody said, "I don't want to hear any excuses on Monday about why Baker, you know, didn't play. He's tough. He's playing through injuries. Maybe his team should take a lesson." And then she reposted that. And then maybe like 45 minutes later, took it down.
Reposts don't equal endorsements.
Take it down because then, like, you know, like a repost.
Baker probably saw it and said, "Don't put that out there. We don't need that."
Yeah. Or you can sometimes even on social media like something or retweet it on Twitter. And the idea is not necessarily I believe this. Not every time. But no, I'm saying
it is kind of is, though. You're endorsing it, right?
Yes,
but sometimes
absolutely.
You may retweet it because
That's the same thing to me.
To me, it's something like, this is interesting. Or this is something that deserves to be seen. This is something that should be considered.
See, you can always quote tweet and say, is this interesting? You can
retweet.
Yeah, you can give context.
But that's why people say retweets don't equal endorsements, right? Like they have that disclaimer. So you're saying, well, yeah, but actually they do.
Exactly. Come on, man. Seriously. Let's not. And I ain't even no social media dude like that. But if you retweeting and liking, you endorse it.
But you can't
I don't give a damn
it,
what you're trying
you can't
to convince
prove it.
Me of.
Plausible deniability.
Oh, yeah.
Key,
right.
Where do you think the Browns will be after these next two games against the Ravens? They're currently 6-5 right now. They're last in the AFC North.
The next two games after the Ravens?
No, they play at the Ravens.
Oh, at
on the
28th,
and then
and more importantly, should if Baker's that banged up, should Case Keenum be starting?
Well, he's got to get healthy. And if he's capable of playing, then you play him. If he can play, you play
Who's
him.
Who's he? Baker, you're saying?
Baker. Yeah, Baker.
I'm saying when the Browns offense is giving you 13 points against the Lions and Baker's wife is reposting stuff about basically how tough he is to even be out there, and you, I would get that key if Case Keenum was a bum and Baker was an MVP. But Baker's is a good quarterback, and so is Case Keenum. Like, he can play. I don't know. I think they have to consider – starting the backup, who, by the way, won a game this year, and as I keep bringing up, had an excellent season, second in QBR in the league to Tom Brady. I know that was 4 or 5 years ago already, but with Kevin Stefanski as his quarterback's coach.
Yeah, you keep going back to 2017. I get it. He did the one game this year. But if Baker's healthy, he should play. And when you play, that means you're healthy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. So I hear you. In a 17-game season – I'm just saying, like, there are – do we agree about this or not? If you can get out there, fine. Normally, that means you're healthy enough to play. But what if you just look at the dude and say, yeah, but this is not – he is hampered to the point where it's not him anymore, right? And you got a good backup.
Yeah.
I don't know. If I'm the Browns, I would – here to me is the nightmare scenario if you're Baker. You shut it down as the other guys, Chubb – and Kareem Hunt are not only back, but getting into the swing of things. And now it looks really bad for you. But if you keep playing and you're that banged up, that might happen anyway.
So you're saying it's a lose-lose scenario for Baker.
I'm saying so the best course of action is actually just to make the smart move, to forget about everything and do the right thing, which is rest up for a game or two. Get all the way healthy.
Hey, Max.
Yeah.
I'm going to post something on a fake Twitter account,
yeah,
and be real, very, very just disrespectful and mean. I want you to like it and then repost it.
Nah, son.
Whether
Dak and the Cowboys should have any concerns after their loss to the Chiefs, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers, your podcast, ESPN NFL analyst and co-host of the Organized Chaos podcast, Rex Ryan, in studio now giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys.
Wait, Coach, I got to ask, because obviously last week, a lot of stuff swirling around
I
here.
I guess we stirred some stuff up. I don't know what happened.
With comments that you said about Robert Saleh, head coach of the Jets. You did tell me that you had a conversation with him. How did that conversation go? Can you break it down for us?
You got scared, huh, Rex?
You know, I reached out to him, and, you know, we talked for a long time and about a lot of different subjects and things. And the reason I wanted to talk to him, too, is I've sat in that chair that he's in, and it's unlike any other in the NFL. And I think especially from a new coach perspective, and I just wanted to let him know if you know, we wanted to air something out man-to-man, then let's go for it. And we did. But I'll be honest with you, when I came away, I don't know what I was expecting, but I came out of it thinking, number one, dang, this is a really good guy. He's a hell of a dude, and he's smart, and I think he's got a plan for this team. And I mean, I was sitting back going, "Oh shoot, I think we're in pretty good hands."
Coach, how much of that is you're someone who wears your heart on your sleeve?
Right.
You say what you're thinking in the media. That's what part of what makes you good. You're going to sit without a filter. How much of the fact that you were kind of like, in a way, grateful that he was taking the call was that you'd be like, you know what? I probably shouldn't have said what I said about him. I was coming from my feelings at the moment, but I was out of line. Did you feel you were, or do you feel, nope, I'm in my job in the media. I have to answer truthfully, period.
Look, I'm a ready, fire, aim guy.
Yeah.
You know, and that's it sometimes. And look, is there only like a million times that I probably regretted saying what I said?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Both, brother.
But I think part of it is, you know, okay, it was my wife, you know, ripping me for saying, baby, you've been in that chair. You're right, babe. But anyway, I think it was one of those things, but I'm glad I did. I'm glad I called.
So in other words,
because
Rex,
sometimes you're like, okay, I kind of get it now. Like, I see what it is. But make no mistake, like, that defense right there has a long way to go. There's no question about it. And yeah, Key, am I – okay, let me see if he's trying to get through. But either way, it's one of those things that, you know, I'll never take back what I said because it's out there. And I'll own every time what I say. And again, I always will. And whether it's you like it or not, I'm being real. And that's how I am.
Yeah. Rex, so you're endorsing him as little Rex now.
I'm not going to say he's like me, Key. I'm not saying that, but I will say this: he's got a vision for this football team. And when you look at it, even on Sunday before this game, I talked about how I thought they hit on their guard. I think Vera Tucker. I think he's legit. That's a check. Carter's a check. And Elijah Moore. I was blown away by this young receiver, and he went off yesterday. So the main one, Jay Will, is what we're looking at. It's going to be about this quarterback. And if all of a sudden that's a hit, this team is not going to be, kind of punks or whatever. All of a sudden they're going to be legit.
You know what's crazy about the media game is that, you know, obviously it's our job to speculate and to give people insight about where they think a team is or where they think a coach is. But when a coach actually connects with you and you get a chance to hear that vision, at least they give you the option of saying, damn, that's a good vision, or – That's still a crappy vision. I still disagree with it. At least they give that to you. I'm surprised people don't take more opportunities, Rex, to have conversation with people in the media who talk about them about what their vision actually is.
Yeah, I don't know how many people would take calls, though. Like, if you're trying to do that, I don't know how many guys – like, if some somebody called me out of the media or something like that, and I'm coaching, getting my team to, you know, get ready for a game and all that stuff, and be like, yeah, whatever. I ain't calling back.
Former head coach,
well, no, that's different.
But says something about you in the media. No, Are you taking the call?
But that's different. Absolutely. If somebody called me, I'm absolutely taking the call.
Yeah. But and I understand. But listen, Rex, also, I understand. People who come with a reputation as a defensive coach, immediately they get compared to some former coach on the team, and you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, here's my resume. Please don't get a feeling of who this guy is, a feeling of who I am, and lump us together. I have a resume, and he's trying to build one.
Yeah, right? and exactly. And I think what's funny is, and people hate to hear it about, like, hey, guys, here's the bad thing. I was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And I think people kind of miss that thing, oh, this guy's a blowhard. Yeah, I may be all those type of things, but I was one hell of a football coach. And I think that's why sometimes – I'll take it personal when you're going to say, this guy's going to compare to me. Well, why don't you go back and do your own research?
Listen, you and Key, and there's some people who know what they're looking at, and the rest of us are guessing and trying to get a sense of things, and so it's easy to make generalizations, and the guys who really know are like, before you do, here's the real story. So let's get to some NFL. Chiefs win their fourth in a row yesterday. Yeah. What's the biggest reason you think they got to turn around?
Their defense. And we're sitting back. Look, we killed them. I killed them early in the season. You know, you got Chris Jones playing defensive end and all that. As soon as they move Chris Jones back in, you see the impact that he's had. But over the last month of the season, they've been winning games not because of this great offense, prolific offense. It's been because of their defense. And we saw it against Dallas. And quite honestly, Dallas stepped into a championship fight. You know, talking all that noise after whipping some of these, you know, lesser opponents, and they thought they were ready. But as soon as they got in there, it's like, uh-oh, we ain't ready.
Uh-oh, Bud
and,
Crawford.
You know, yeah, exactly. But it's one of those things where it's like, man, we don't belong here yet. And here's the thing. We know there's a million guys missing for Dallas. That's true. But you can alter your game plan as it goes on. And when all of a sudden your two best receivers aren't in there, maybe you ought to dang run the football. And they got away from – they averaged more yards per play rushing the football than they did throwing. Why the hell didn't we see it?
So Cowboys, meantime, are stumbling. But they seem to me to be actually a good team.
Yeah,
like, fundamentally, like underneath it all, an actual good team is what I'm saying. How concerned are you for
them? No, I'm not that concerned if they'll go back to work. In other words, as a coach – like, I always kid on Boy Wonder. I'm saying he's going to be the coach, you know.
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore is going to be our guy. But he needs to make some adjustments, too. And if all of a sudden you have no adjustment for slot blitz, which is one of the basic blitzes there is in a league, it stops the run, it does that. And you know, where was the motion to block the edge? They never did it. And to me, they just said, well, we can't run because of all these slot blitzes. Well, what the hell? If you don't have an adjustment for that, I'm shocked that they never had an adjustment for that.
Rex, from a defensive schematic perspective with the Chiefs, because their defense has gotten better over the last month, how much of a difference does it make that now with Melvin Ingram back, they move Chris Jones back to the inside, he's able to get that pressure that he got on Dak yesterday? I mean, their defense looks very, very much improved.
Oh, my God, yeah, absolutely. And here's the thing. Internal pressure is the worst thing you can have the best thing you can have on defense and the worst thing that an offense can face. Because it's hard. You can always chip on outside guys, you know, block great outside rushers. It's hard as hell to change up what you do inside when you have that kind of pressure. And here's the other thing. The other kid that's inside had 10 sacks, Reed, had 10 sacks for the Seahawks 1 year. It's not just the one-man show with Chris Jones. It's Reed also. So, to me, that's a hard thing. You can only double one of them. And so that's a real problem for teams moving forward.
If you want to hear an ESPN NFL analyst and co-host of the Organized Chaos podcast, if you want to hear a podcast, Organized Chaos, where the analyst is so real, he sometimes has to call the head coach and be like, look, man, this is why I said it. Listen to Organized Chaos with Coach Rex Ryan. Why Keith thinks it's time for everyone to stop hating on the NFC East quarterbacks.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.